Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a beautiful drive it was coming from Austin this morning. It's glad to see that y'all have gotten so much rain. Everything's so green down here. Looks beautiful. Apparently got a lot more rain than we have in Austin, but it's I'm so glad to be with y'all. Sad that my family couldn't be here, but they do miss y'all and wanted me to say hi for everybody. The title for my lesson this morning is, Who Do You Serve? I'm going to start reading a scripture from 1 John chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. 1 John 5, 19 through 21. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the way of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We see throughout Scripture that God hates idols. He hates it when people worship other gods and put idols, put anything in front of Him. I'd like to start off with an illustration this morning, but I want you to picture, you have three children. I'm using my kid's name, and we have one on the way. I'm using Johnny, but our son's name is not going to be Johnny. But you got a little Avery, you got a little Tate, and a little Johnny. Now, growing up, you always wanted the best for your kids, your children. You wanted the best clothes that you could afford, the best food you could put on the table, best transportation, best housing. You always wanted them to be involved in the church and to grow spiritually. You would study as a child with them, read them Bible stories, and as they got older, you would have Bible studies with them, and y'all would study a lot together. But as they become older, things become more busy. They get more involved in activities at school, UIL, sports, athletics, and things become very busy. Now, Avery, she was very good at athletics, and she would play basketball, softball, and everything she did, she was very good at. But the one thing that stood out was softball, so that you helped her with that. You got her the best equipment, the best bats, gloves, softballs. You got her a pitching machine set up in the backyard, and you would practice with her, and you would help her every day to get better. And in fact, you got her a trainer later on that trained her to be even better, and she became very good. In fact, in high school, she had college scouts coming and looking at her and got a full ride to Texas A&M. Then you had Tate. Tate, he was very good with money, smart kid, but he would save his money. Daddy would get home from work, put all his change up on the table, and little Tate, he would do little chores. He wanted to get that change put in his piggy bank. People give him Christmas money, birthday money, and he'd go put that in his piggy bank. And he was the one, man, he would conceive his brothers and sisters into buying him everything. He would never spend his own money. In fact, he talked mom and dad buying him a lawnmower, weed eater when he got into high school, and he'd go around mowing yards and doing all kinds of things to make money. And he saved his money and did well. But the one thing that saddened you the most is he quit having time to come to church on Wednesdays because he'd get stuck mowing yards. And he just became too busy. He never had time to study the Word. He was mowing and between school and that, just too busy. And then you had little Johnny. Little Johnny, he was fascinated with cars and he liked fast things. And as a little child, he would play with Hot Wheel cars. And he's got older, he would get into building model cars, and he liked working on things. In fact, whenever he got in high school, he became very good mechanically wise. And he worked on cars, and you got him a Mustang. He liked fast cars, so he wanted a Mustang. He said they were fast. So you get him that, and he decides that he wants to go to trade school. And after you get your kids through school, you still want the best for them. And you send them off to college, and Avery, she had that full ride to A&M. You sent her over there, and she kept being even better at her sport and did very well. And in fact, she went to play pro ball later. And you were so proud of her for her accomplishments, but at the same time, you were sad because she ended up marrying some guy of some denomination and she quit going to church and started going with him every now and then, you know, Christmas, Easter. And then you had little Tate. You know, little Tate, he was very good with his money, and he aced through college and became a CEO of a company, got big in the stock markets, and he made millions and millions of dollars, but later became an atheist. He left the church altogether because he just got too busy with work and everything. And then you had little Johnny. He went off to trade school and became a good mechanic. He worked for the shop for a little while, and then after a couple of years, he opened his own shop, and he was just real good at what he did. And he'd come to church with mom and dad every now and then, but he couldn't make it all the time because he would go to these car shows and stuff on weekends and work on cars, and he was just very busy. And here you are as a parent, you're like, how could you? How could you? I've given you everything you always needed, everything you always wanted. I took you to church all the time. I studied the Word of God with you. How could you forsake the Lord? That feeling is how God feels when we are constantly putting wealth, when we are putting sports, when we're putting all these idols in front of Him, and anything that we put in front of the Lord becomes an idol in our lives. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "And the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." That might live through Him. It's not saying we're going to. This is people in the church. We might. But if that's only if we're putting God at the top of our list, if we're making God our priority. Now, throughout Scripture, we see over and over where God's people constantly, they put idols, they put worshiping other gods over Him, and He does not like it. But this morning, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 24. So if y'all would, please turn with me to your Bibles to Joshua 24. I'll be there for the majority of my lesson. And in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for their elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." Now this morning, as I read through this, I want to put application as we are to in our lives. But here we see he gathered all the tribes of Israel and all their elders. Now we know from Exodus 18:25 that Moses chose able men to be in charge of hundreds, to be in charge of thousands. So when he's saying to all the tribes of Israel, this is a very large gathering. And then we see they presented themselves before God. Brothers and sisters, how do we present ourselves before God? I think of Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, we must be a living sacrifice, one that's living a life like Christ. And another way we present ourselves before God is we come here to worship. And what are some acts of worship? We come here, we pray together, we sing hymns together, we partake of the Lord's Supper together, we give together, we hear the Word preached to us. But one thing that every one of these acts takes is participation from each and every one of us. Meaning when the man's up here preaching the Word, we can't just be sitting there thinking, "Oh, I wonder what we're going to do for lunch today." Or whenever the guy's doing the prayer, we can't be thinking, "Oh, I can't wait to go out there on the golf course, you know, later this week." It takes participation from each and every one of us to be acceptable worship to God. We go on in verses 2 through 13. We're going to see everything that God did for Israel. Starting in verse 2. "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nachor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to what I did among them. Afterwards I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians persuaded your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the seas upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that they might possess your land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel. He sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you, so I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. I sent the horn before you, I drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities in which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyard of the olive groves, which you did not plant." Here we see everything God did for Israel. He led Abraham, their fathers, throughout the land of from land of Egypt through the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed even at an old age. And then we see all the people that he destroyed. He destroyed these people because they were worshiping idols. They were worshiping other gods. And he gave them the land of the Amorites that they possessed. But there at the end of verse 13, he says, "I've given you a land which you did not labor, cities in which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. Look at everything God did for Israel. And yet you sit here and in verse 23, we're seeing that they are worshiping other gods. He's saying, why are you sitting here reaping all the benefits of everything that your fathers went through out of the land of Egypt? How could you? And then we go on and, what has God done for us? Some application here. You think about it. The reason that we're here this morning, that we're able to come worship Him on the first day of the week. The reason, that we have our children, our grandchildren, the jobs we have, the food we have, the clothes we wear, cars we drive, the homes we have, everything is because of God. In fact, God sent His only begotten Son so that you and I may have eternal life in heaven with Thee. We don't deserve eternal life, but God has given us the option. We go on to verses 14 through 15. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity, serve Him in truth. But we see here, they need to make a choice. Serve the gods your father served over in Egypt. Serve the gods of the Amorites, or serve the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, we ultimately have the same choice today. Do we serve wealth? Do we serve our jobs? Do we serve family? Or do we put God first? God is to be our priority. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be applied to you. But who do you serve, and is God your top priority? Everything we say, everything we do needs to bring glory and honor to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, everything you eat, everything you drink, whatever you do, do to bring glory and honor to God. But think of some of these decisions that we make in our life. And we need to think of, do they bring us into some form of slavery? It could be like golfing, for instance. Saying I like to golf, which I don't. But say I like to golf, and you know what? I'm just going to go maybe once, maybe twice this week. Next thing you know, I'm going every day. I'm spending every moment away from my family out there on the golf course. And then, in fact, I buy golf course property. Or maybe it's hunting or fishing, saying, you know what? I'll just go maybe once this week out when I get time after work. And next thing, I'm spending every waking moment out there in that deer blind, taking hunters out even. We have to put God first. It could be fishing, saying, I'll just go out there for one day. And the next thing you know, you're out there every day fishing, trying to catch that 5-pound bass or that big redfish. It could be worse sins like saying drinking, saying, I'll just have one drink. It ain't going to hurt. Surely it's good for the stomach, right? Next thing you know, you're a social drunk. Maybe it's smoking or chewing tobacco, saying, what's one or two going to hurt? Next thing you know, you're buying it by the log. You're buying it by the carton. Maybe it's drugs, saying, it's just marijuana. What's it going to hurt? And the next thing you know, you're injecting yourself. All these problems are going to start out very small in our lives. And you're going to get enslaved into doing them and doing them anymore. James chapter 1 verses 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Think of some of the activities that have destroyed our youth, like television, for example. You got kids that get into watching these series, and this ain't just kids, it's adults too. And they watch these series, they're glued to the couch, you can't move until they finish that one. And then they're getting on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, asking their friends what the next show is, and they get glued in it to where they're spending all their time into it. And then you got these video games, kids, they'll play these video games, and parents say, it's okay, they can play for a couple hours after school, it's not going to hurt anything. Next thing you know, parents are waking up in the morning, their kids are still playing from last night. And then you got these iPads and phones, you go to a restaurant, everybody's just glued to them. We got to choose our time more wisely. It's even getting to the point, Avery, I'll go somewhere, she goes, Dad, can I play games on your phone? But we got to teach our children to do these things more wisely. But why do people do all of these things that I've listed? You may say greed, pride of life, but the truth is, people are always seeking happiness. The only way that we're ever going to find true happiness, to be happy at all, is in God, in His Word. It's not going to be in wealth. People that chase wealth, they'll say, when I get to the $1 million, I'll be good. Well, then they get there and they're like, I want two, I want three. Never content, always want more. People want a nice possession, say a house. They say, when I get to that 3-bedroom house, I'll be good. And then they want a 4-bedroom house or more acreage. Maybe it's a car or a truck. You say, once I get that one, I'll be happy. But the next thing you know, you want a faster car. You want a bigger truck. could be professional athlete. You know, even people that go to college ball and then they get into pro ball, what they just want to become better and better and make Hall of Fame. No matter what we do, we need to put God first in all things. But have you ever listened to your conscience? I call it arguing with yourself. Has your conscience ever went against a decision you were thinking about doing and you sat there and argued with yourself? I do it all the time. But it's like I like to go fishing and I'll have a buddy who say, "Hey, you want to go to Lake Hampstead this Saturday night? The white bass are running. Man, that'd be awesome. You know what? I'll miss church on Sunday morning. I probably shouldn't go. You know what? I can make Sunday evening. Yeah, I can be there Sunday evening. It'd be good. I can go." I just try to make a bad decision seem good. I'm sinning against myself. Romans 14, verse 23 says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." We see in 1 John 3:20, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things." God knows everything you think, and He knows what's on our hearts. He knows what's on our minds, and He knows the decisions that we're doing. We need to sometimes listen to our conscience when we're getting bad vibes about something. Remember, the ultimate goal in life is to go to heaven, to take as many people as we can with us, to bring glory and honor to God. Every decision that we make in this life needs to be based on that. Say, if I do that this weekend, is that going to bring so-and-so to heaven? Is that decision going to bring glory and honor to God? Every decision needs to be based on it. When Joshua said, "Choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve," that is the most important choice you can make in life other than putting Christ on in baptism. We see in Luke 9:23, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It takes self-denial. It takes something we're going to also, we see, have to do, Jesus says, every day. Every day. It's not Sunday morning we're going to take up, "I'm going to worship God today." And then on Wednesday, you know what, I'm going to go Wednesday too. I'll worship God on Wednesday. It's something we must wake up on Monday morning on the way to work. We need to be like Jesus. Jesus, Mark 1:35, "And in the morning, rising way before the day, went out and departed into a solitary place, and he prayed." We need to be like Jesus. We need to be a man of prayer. We need to be a man when tonight my lesson is going to be over the temptations of Satan and overcoming sin. Every time Jesus was faced with temptation, he went to the Word of God. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Back to Joshua 24 and verses 16 through 18. Joshua chapter 24, verses 16 through 18. "So the people answered and said, far be it for us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did all those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." The people say, "Of course we're going to serve the Lord. Look at the land we live in. It's because God destroyed the Amorites. He consumed them and he gave us our land. Of course we're going to serve them." We go on in verses 19 through 21. "But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." We see what happened to all those people that were putting idols, putting worshiping other gods over God. They were consumed. He will do the same to me and you. We must always pray. We must always listen to the Word of God. And we must be a doer of His Word, being teaching others. We go on verses 22 through 24. "So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." Joshua tells them they are witnesses against himself. But what doesn't get me is verse 23. "Put away the strange gods that are among you." We know from here, we saw everything that their fathers had went through, and they are right here worshiping other gods. I was talking to Brother Jeremy last night on the phone, and he was saying how he's studying the Old Testament right now in 2 Chronicles, and how the children of Israel, they seen the glory of God and they were scared. But what do? They go right back to the idols, to worshiping other gods. You look at our world today, what do people do? We're doing the same thing now. We got a church across the street teaching different things. We got churches all throughout Natalia, throughout the world, that are teaching different things. They're teaching different doctrine. They're worshiping other gods. They're putting idols. The same thing's going on in the world today. But you just think, how could they all do that? We go on verses 25 through 28. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of law of God. He took a large stone. He set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it had heard all the words of the Lord which he had spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." Joshua let the people depart, each one to their inheritance. We see here that commitment. They're participating in making a covenant. They put a statue and ordinance of the Lord and said, "It shall be a witness. It shall be a reminder for you." What does that table up there say? "This do in remembrance of me." You think about it. We got to constantly be reminded of everything that God's done for us. We come and we partake of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. We do that to what? Be reminded of the blood that Christ shed for us, to remember His body that was shed for us. I believe it's also why we are to come together upon the first day of the week, period. Because we constantly need to be reminded as the church of everything that God did for us. And the things that we should do. Because men constantly forget. You think about it with COVID, how it destroyed the church around the world. People, you know, it was closed the doors for weeks, months. Some of them are still closed. In fact, some have closed the doors altogether. Why? Because the people put other things in front of God. They forgot. They started putting wealth or jobs or family and everything else in front of God and quit going to church. Verses 29 through 31. "Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-serah, which is mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." We see Joshua died 110 years old, but most importantly, we see that God's people, they chose the Lord not only all the days of Joshua's life, but when Joshua died, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. We see the importance of one having godly leadership, and what a blessing it is that Natalia has elders. As I was going around for months looking for support for preaching school, preaching everywhere, and having to go to men's business meetings, that's not the way of the church. It is a blessing to have elders overseeing the flock, overseeing the man that gets in this pulpit and that he's going to preach the word to not lead people astray. It's very important. We also see the importance of a Christian influence that Joshua was, and the influence that each one of us should have to each other. Joshua was a man, he always reminded not only each other of everything that God did for him, he was constantly reminding his leaders, reminding the elders. And he kept them all faithful through this bad time. You think about all the ones that have left the church for COVID. We need to be reminding them what God did for them. Send them a card, a compassion card. Send them a text. Call them. Remind them in a loving way of what Christ did, what God did for us. Because look at just a few generations after Joshua. We go to Judges 2 verses 10 through 12. Judges 2 verses 10 through 12. "And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of people that were around them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger." We see right here apostasy. They did not know the Lord. And what? They followed other gods of the people around them. You think about this, what's going on right now. You got all these churches teaching different things, and they have what? Followers that are doing the exact same thing with them. We see the importance of being that good Christian example and having good godly leadership is to a congregation. But the problem that they were facing and the problem we're facing now, and I learned this, like I said, when I was going around looking for support, I went to many congregations where I was the youngest one in the building. There was no children. If we're not teaching our youth to replace us one day, we're failing as the church because we're failing our future generations of teaching our youth and grounding them in the Word of God. We need to teach them the importance of putting God our top priority. It's not school. It's not UIL. It's not sports. It's putting God in His Word. We need to study the Word of God more than anything in our lives. We see how Joshua lived from a very youth all the way to his death. He was a just man. He was a man of his word. He was a man of courage. He was a light. We need to apply some of those characteristics to our own lives. Imagine if every congregation just had one Joshua. How strong the church would be all over the world. Congregations would be growing like you wouldn't believe. We'd be adding on to the building like crazy. I'd like to close this morning with Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whatever we shall wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I know, brothers and sisters, that we need to work. We need to provide for our families. But don't worry about tomorrow. If we are putting God first in our lives, God is going to take care of us. But we must put Him at the top of the list. How do you start your morning off? Is it in prayer to the Father like we see with Jesus? Is it studying His Word how we see when we are to face temptations? How are you handling? If maybe you have not been the Christian that you should, if maybe you could just use the help of the congregation, the time to come forward is now as we sing the song that's been selected.